All right. Glad you're here. It's good to see your eyes. It's good to see the eyes, the white of everybody's eyes. We're going to worship God, and the good news is that God is going to meet with us today right here. And so I want to reset your expectation. If you think this is just something else, it's not. He's going to be here with us through his word and through his body and his blood given to us. So let me pray, and we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that your word is faithful and that your works are kind. We thank you that you create all things by your word. You speak and it happens, and then you hold it all together in love. So we look to you for life. We look to you for peace. And we receive your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. Meet with us, apply your word to our hearts today, and we pray that you would be blessed by our singing and our fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, happy Father's Day.
Happy pre-Father's Day.
Yes.
Oh, thanks.
Almost Father's Day, not quite, buddy.
Almost there. So, we want to start off by hearing words from our Father, who speaks to us and tells us that he loves us and tells us that he forgives us. So, if you will all stand with me and let us pray the prayer of confession together on page D. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Then Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and We wanted to read Psalm 91. Over this, while we read it, Matt and I will read it back and forth. You follow along. And whenever you read the Bible, you always ask the Lord, you ask the Holy Spirit to help make sense of it. Just, I don't know if you know that, but whenever you go, you say, Holy Spirit, would you help me understand what you're writing here, what you're saying? And so we ask the Holy Spirit to make sense of this for us. And wash it over our hearts and minds. Psalm 91. And it's on page 285 if you're using one of the Bibles. I'm just waiting for it. It's Father's Day, so I'm waiting for my daughter to find it. Great, good. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day.
Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Take a second and try to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what's one verse, what's one idea that you could just encourage me with from what we just read?
Your Father holds you fast in love. He delivers you. He protects you because he knows your name. When you call to him, he answers you. He will be with you in trouble. He will rescue you and honor you. With long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. This is the word of your Father, who you honor today by gathering around his word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for protecting us, for giving us your name and calling us your children. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We are continuing our series of the gift that keeps on giving. So last week, we talked about how the gift of God is greater than the trespass of man. And this week, we are exploring, we're continuing to unfold the gift that God gives us and all of its meanings and benefits. Our reading for today is found in Psalm 6, verses 1 through 14 and 20 through 23. Or sorry, Romans. I said Psalm, Romans. Didn't I? I was reading Psalm on the board. Romans 6. And we're picking up the conversation where we left off with Paul from last week. So, you want me to read? I'll read 1 through 14. You read 20 through 23?
Yeah. All right. Is everyone there?
We're on the Psalms or the Romans?
Romans, okay, sorry. So, I'm so sorry. Romans 6.
We already read the Psalm.
Okay.
So, Romans 6, 1 through 14, verses 20 through 23, found on page 549. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace.
And then we'll skip ahead to verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. So Paul is continuing his conversation from last week, where he talked about how we are justified, saved, and reconciled to God, and how God's grace conquers and is greater than our sin. And so the following question is, so should we continue to sin gladly so that God can keep forgiving us? So God can keep giving out his grace to us? Like, sounds like we should continue sinning. And this question that Paul is stating for everyone is a question of who do you belong to? And you have to remember who Paul is and what his story is. Paul was someone who hunted down Christians. He was against the church. He was killing people and arresting people and thought he was righteous for it. Thought he was doing the right thing. But now that he belongs to Christ, the question is, do I continue to hunt the church down? Should I continue to live in my sin?
God forbid.
God forbid.
So the logic here with the gospel, one of the reasons the gospel, no one wants to hear it, is because reasonably the world has figured out, oh, you're just offering forgiveness. So you could just do whatever you want and then get forgiveness. There's a whole South Park episode about that, where they start doling out forgiveness at the DMV. It's a whole cult. It's pretty funny. Because the understanding is, oh, you're saying we're forgiven, so just keep sinning so that grace abounds. And Paul says, by no means.
By no means.
You made me think of, who do you belong to? The answer is by no means, because how can we who died still tied to sin still live in it? So like the whole thing has changed. So I was just talking with Val. We had a memory because I did a wedding yesterday. And we were talking about, there was a point in our relationship where a guy from a summer camp, he set up a date for Val. While we were kind of dating, I was away. He set up a date. She thought it was just a nice day. Like, oh, he's really nice. Because she doesn't know how much effort it takes for a guy to not think about himself. And so I know any guy who's not thinking about himself and setting up a date for somebody really likes the girl, because that's how I would be. Well, then I hear later in the fall, she's like, oh, this guy's coming to visit me from Seattle or from LA. I'm like, what? He's coming to visit me just for 2 weeks at Christmas. Stay at your house? I'm like, by no means. Who do you belong to? I mean, yeah, you can do that. But how can you hang out with a guy all Christmas break and still be with me? Like, I have to break it to you. Like, so yes, you can keep sinning, but the whole relationship has changed to sin. It will feel crazy to you. Or if you keep sinning and you belong to Christ and it doesn't bother you, then maybe you don't belong to Christ. Do you see how it works? So it's not an excuse like, oh, let's just keep sinning because God forgives. Paul says, you belong to Christ now, and it's changed who you actually are. It's actually changed your whole situation. You've died to sin.
It's changed the whole relationship. And to say that we should continue on sinning would be to say that Paul should have continued hunting the church.
Or that wouldn't matter.
That wouldn't matter.
It does matter.
It does matter. And why would you do that? You belong to the church now. You belong to Christ. You're part of God's body. Why would you hurt it?
Right. So he's saying the whole thing changes.
The whole thing changes.
At baptism. Listen. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So he's saying, this newness of life begins when you are baptized into, immersed into the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as you were baptized into it, you were buried, it says in verse 4, you were actually buried therefore with him by baptism into death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So the answer to well, we can just sin and it doesn't matter because you're totally forgiven, is yes, you could if you weren't totally regenerated. The problem is you've died with Christ and you've been raised to a new life. And this new life includes being united to Christ, being free from slavery of sin, like knowing now you're a new creature. So you can't live the same old way. You won't want to. You'll feel bad about it. You won't like it. It'll leave you unsatisfied because you've been regenerated. Right?
Right. Yeah, so this is a transfer of relationships. It's a transfer of authority. That in our baptism, we die to the dominion of sin and the law. The law demands perfection from us, demands condemnation, demands actual punishment and justice. And that justice is applied to you in your baptism. It is not a metaphorical language. He's not saying that it's like you've died. He's actually saying you have died to sin in your baptism. The name of Christ has been applied to you, and you are now his. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have been assigned to Christ.
And this is what the Word of God is. This is why the Word of God is so important. That he can commandeer the water. He can say, I turn this water, it's just water, but I will remake you with it. You will die, and it's not according to your reason, because we baptize babies. It's not what you can understand. It's something God does to you. So he says, in this baptism, I will commandeer the water and I will kill the old man. I will drown out the old man and all the transgressions and all that you deserve. And I will raise you up with Christ. And that's why he says in verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So the whole thing is, we've been brought out of sin. And sin is death. We're wearing masks right now because we're scared of death, right? And that's okay. I'm not saying this is bad to wear. I'm like, we actually have death all around us. That is proof that there is sin in the world. God did not create life for us to die. He created us to live. The fact that every baby born is going to have also a death date is wrong. That's not right. It's not right that any of you should die. That's why Jesus Christ came. He says, "You, I'm going to judge you and kill you in baptism and raise you to a new life that begins now." And the new life has a purpose, right? So the temptation to go, I'm just going to sin and it doesn't matter, it betrays anything new. So like if I'm thinking like, if I want to, we've sanded and stained things. Mm-hmm. There's an order to that, right? You can't just put stain on wood. Kevin knows. You have to sand, then you have to use a certain kind of sandpaper, then you do something there, apply a coat, then you have to use another sandpaper. Like there's an order to doing it right to make that bar look good. And there's an order to something that's being made new, and the order is God loves you. He saves you. He gives you Jesus Christ. That's the order. Look at every character in the Bible. It never begins, they were really good, and then God said, oh, I like you, you'll be my people. Oh, and now I'll save you because you're so good. It always starts with, I'll take you out of nothing. I'll give you my name. You're my people, I'm your God. And then I'll give you security. I'll lead you out of Egypt, or I'll give you my Holy Spirit. I'll save you in the work of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll lead you into something new. There's a purpose for your life. And the newness of life for us now is we're not being saved by our works. So yes, you can keep sinning, but we've been made new to now enjoy life with Christ, to move into something. There's an order to it. So we're saved. We're saved by Christ, we're loved by God, and now it's like he's producing a new life in us, mm-hmm. of love and joy and creativity and beauty the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, never ending, eternal life. That's the way it's supposed to be. So if you use that as an excuse to do evil, you don't understand who you belong to now. You don't understand there's a purpose. So we stain things for a purpose, for them to look good. So that bar looks good now. This table, we sanded and stained. It's for a purpose. And Christ is working in you for a purpose. That's why we don't just go, oh, well, do whatever you want, and ha-ha. Then you don't belong to Christ. So there's a newness of life. And I'm starting to get into what the gifts lead to, mm-hmm. which is sanctification. Do you want to talk for a second? I can't breathe. See there.
In our baptism, Satan has suffered a horrible loss. He has lost you. And for the rest of your life, will do whatever he can to convince you that you still belong to him. He will continually build a case against you and say, how can you belong to Christ when you still do these things? This is how we live in this newness of life. Whenever the accusations, the condemnation, and the separation of the devil, of the world, of our own flesh, comes against us, you hold up your baptism. You hold up your baptism and you say, no, I belong to Christ. I renounce your lies. I've died to you. That law no longer applies to me because I've died to it. And the law, the devil, sin, cannot follow you through the waters of baptism. Just like Pharaoh's army couldn't follow the Israelites through the Red Sea.
Nice.
And so you hold that up and you say, I belong to Christ. That's who I am. And I live with him. And through his spirit in me, I now can walk into the good things he has for me, the good gifts he has for me. Because in the old kingdom, under sin, even your good works were bad. Even your good works get scrutinized and picked apart. Your motives are watched and dissected until it's proven that you're not a good person. Even your good works are dead. But under grace, God forgives you. And even your mistakes, even your sin, God redeems and leads to repentance, leads to forgiveness, and produces the fruit of the Spirit.
So in verse 11, I liked what Matt's saying. Hold up your baptism and say, sorry, Satan, your accusations are true, but you can't follow me through these waters. You've been defeated by Jesus. Verse 11, so Paul says, I have to restate justification, that you are saved by grace through faith. I have to say that all the time because it's the first thing to deteriorate in your brain as soon as you walk out of here, because you walk into a world that says, here's what you deserve. Here's what you've earned. Justify your behavior. So we have to keep saying that. But then Paul says, look at this, verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we're saying, now start to look at yourself as I'm dead to death and sin, and I'm alive to Christ.
This is faith.
That's the faith. And what it leads to is going to lead to sanctification. So the word sanctification, we also call it new obedience. Again, people confuse and put this on how you're saved. But for the Christian, I'm just telling you, this is very important. We don't really cooperate too much with God in being saved. That's a work of God. He gives us faith. We put our faith in him. Thank God. It's all him. Once we're saved, we're saved by his works. He then invites us to cooperate in sanctification. That is partaking of the fruit that God produces. We get to actually eat the fruit that the Spirit produces. Because we're already in a position of love, identity as children of faith, secure in the work of Christ. Now we're being led to live the way we were created to. And that's what Paul says here when he goes, consider yourself dead to that and alive to God. So let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So he's like, you want to cooperate with God? You have a new life. And you actually have power over sin and death. You're not powerless. You belong to Christ. He defeated the grave. So now we cooperate with God the same way as a child is secure, safe. And now they have to learn to discipline themselves to make their bed, do their homework, go potty. No. Not in their pants. You work together. So for us, sanctification is not to prove. It's not to go, oh, I feel safe because I've been so good. No, you're safe in Christ. But you're starting to move into now being a full human. That's what he means when he says, now we reign over sin and death so that we can say, I don't like acting that way. I don't like how that makes me feel. I have the power to go, Jesus, help me. And you start to become the person who has power over sin instead of being helpless and not even knowing it's sin and just doing whatever sin leads you. Do you see? You're alive to God now. You're dead to sin and you have power over it because of your death and resurrection, identifying with the death and resurrection of Christ. It's kind of cool. It gets a little confusing because Paul uses slave language for his audience. Says you once were slaves to sin, now you're slaves to God. But Paul even says in the middle, he says, I'm only using language that you guys understand because God doesn't make us slaves. And you should understand this at this point. God will never let go of you, but you can walk away. You can quench the Spirit of God and say, I don't want this. That's why he has to say, live unto God. Don't walk away from the work and the love of Christ. You can choose to walk away, but you'll know when you walk away. It's not like there should be no fear. It's like it wouldn't just be an easy thing for me to go, I'm not married to Val anymore, and I just kind of start living on my own. There would be a moment of a big break where my family would say, where are you? And I would make a choice to leave. Go, I don't want this anymore. I don't want the benefits of it anymore. And you have that in your Christian faith, but you will know when you leave God. You will make a decision and walk away from him, and he won't keep you as a slave. He's not a slave driver. So you have that power, and that's why Paul is saying, don't get beat down by sin and death. Continue to ask God to forgive you. That's a sign of the Spirit, is knowing that things aren't right. This isn't the way I was created to live. This is the process of sanctification. It's not to prove that you're saved. It's to actually become more human. Does that make sense?
You are growing up into the person that God has called you to be. So while we are all sinners, God calls us saints. He says, you are a saint. Consider yourself a saint. That's faith. Can you consider yourself a saint because God has called you one, even though your experience of this reality says something different? That's why he has to say, so consider yourselves dead to sin, because you are saints now, even though everything around you says you're not. And the faith now is we start to experience and walk into life as if we're really saints. And we could begin to practice growing up in this house where we are nurtured, where God says, gather in my home. This faith is weak. So gather in my home. I will give you my word. I will remind you who you are. You are a saint. I will give you my body and my blood to feed you and nourish you, to remind you that you belong to me. I will remind you of your baptism, that you've died. and that you've risen to newness of life with me, and I will surround you with brothers and sisters who will confirm to you that you are forgiven, that you are loved, and that you are with God.
And that's the fruit. He says in our passage 20 through 23, he says, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit of sin. What did you get? What did you get to enjoy from all the sin that leads to death? Just longing for more, never being satisfied, destruction, death. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Apart from God, you get your wages. You get what you deserve. Lowry just got a job. He hasn't gotten paid yet. He's worked a couple weeks. We're waiting to figure out what his wages. We know what he's making an hour, but we can't wait to see the money, right? The wages of sin, that's how sin works in death. It's wages. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. That's it. Notice the language that Paul uses. He doesn't say, but the wages of God. Yet that's what we always apply to God, right? I deserve this because I've been good, but Rob's been bad. How come I'm making the same money as Lowry? He just started. It doesn't say the wages of God. It says the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The fruit of being recreated in Christ, the fruit of that life, look at it. It's grace, your sins are forgiven. It's peace, your conscience can rest assured in the work of Christ. It's forgiveness to receive and to give. It's life that we start to live now. Eternal life has begun right now, today for us. Because God is with you wherever you go. God's with you in any situation. He's begun this new life right now. And the demand is not perfect, be perfect. The demand is, let me stay close to you. And you'll start to enjoy the fruit that the Spirit provides instead of trying to produce fruit on your own, prove your standing or something. So we look at the fruit of the wages versus the free gift. And I mean, I announce to you, we belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. You've been regenerated, justified, and now he's cleansing you, put his Spirit in you, and we're slowly learning to figure it out like little kids. And he's gracious with us, and we're gracious with one another. We aren't perfect, but we know when we sin, or we're able to hear it. You know, we say, forgive us for what we've done and what we've left undone. We can't possibly bear the weight of all of our sins if we were to know what they were. But when the Holy Spirit brings them to our minds, or brothers and sisters are like, hey, that hurt me. The newness of life allows us to enjoy the fruit of, oh, forgive me. Sorry. I don't want to do that. I'm working on that. That's the beauty of our new life. I'm working on it not alone, with God, the power of his Holy Spirit, with a community of believers. I have all these benefits of new life, and you all are going to live forever. God's forever. We're starting new life. So don't run back to sin, and don't believe that it's better, and don't believe that it has all power over you. Jesus Christ destroyed the destroyers of the earth. That's a verse from Revelation. I like it. Mm-hmm. He destroyed the power of sin and has given us life. Amen. Amen. You belong to Christ, so do I. So let's begin. Let's keep living in our newness of life. Let me pray. Father, thanks that nothing can stop us from worshiping you, gathering around your word and your body, your presence. We thank you that you're here with us. Continue to work out our newness of life with us, always protecting the reality that we are saved because you loved us first. We are saved by the work of Christ. And now our purpose is growing into becoming the eternal life-filled people of God. Thank you for your patience and your kindness. Bless our folks today. And thanks for being a good father to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, let's confess. A chance for us every week to say, oh, I'm not walking away from this, I love this, is where we confess the historic creed that there is a God who created us, there is a Savior, God came to earth to redeem us, and he has given us his Holy Spirit to sanctify, set us apart to new obedience, to love him. So let's stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. What is it you believe, Christian?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. So we just want to remind everybody to keep praying for everyone. We thank you for your generosity, and I get in conversations where people ask me that aren't part of the church, and they're like, how do you get paid? I'm smiling. How does this work? Because they don't understand that people give generously to the work of Christ. It's kind of fun. I get to say, yeah, the Lord puts money in the right place in our minds so that we're no longer dominated by it, and we get to actually become generous people. And we're generous because God has provided, so we give back to God, and it's part of our worship, and it blows the mind. And they're like, and so you eat and have money and live? And I go, yeah. Is it a big church? No, it's just people are really generous. How do you do that? It's the work of God. Yeah, well, I don't believe in that so much.
You still have to do something.
Yeah, in the last conversation I had, the guy was like convinced I was selling something on the side. I'm like, no, God's actually good. So it's kind of a fun way to announce too. And I realized, man, that's a lot of pressure that God has slowly been lifting off me over the years. And I invite him to slowly lift it off you, that you're not alone, even in your finances, that he's creating you to be the person who's generous. And it begins in small little ways. And who knows where it'll grow into, but it'll just keep growing. So the opportunity to give online, or we have the plate up here, but I always want to encourage you that this is the one area in the Bible where God says, test me. He says over and over, don't test God, trust his word. But he says with giving, he says, go ahead and test me. See what I'll do. You try to outgive me and I'll give more than you can possibly give away. So again, this is for your benefit and for joy in life more than I'm not trying to build a giant cathedral. It's just been a great joy for us. So we thank God for your offerings, and we praise God for how he's provided. Mm-hmm. And then also a time for prayer requests. If you have prayer requests for loved ones or for anything, really, let us know. We'll pray for them.
Yeah, and those of you at home, let us know. Like, text us, and we'll write them up, and we'll put them on the board. And I'm trying to reach out to you all just to make sure. But you're free to text us at any time. Call us at any time, and we'll pray with you.
Yeah. So let's pray a general prayer for the church right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you for making the church your body and your bride, for dying for us, for cleansing us with your water, the washing of the word, for presenting us spotless on the day when we should be married to you, that day of new creation where we banquet and party and celebrate our life together face to face. This long distance relationship will be over and we'll be with you face to face. We thank you for that hope, and we pray now, Lord, that while we wait for that, would you have mercy? Would you heal those of us struggling with sickness and chronic illness? You are the God who forgives all of our iniquities. Forgive us, Lord, for the anger that we're holding in our hearts, for the confusion or the slander or the stealing or whatever it is, Lord. Forgive us. Heal all our diseases. For those of us in the pit of despair, Lord, you redeem those of us in the pit. I pray whoever's feeling that way or there, that you would crown them with your steadfast love and mercy. I pray that you would restore energy to us like the eagles. Those of us who are tired, trying to figure it all out. Lord, we thank you that you work righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses and your acts to Israel. The Lord is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you, Lord. We love you and thank you and offer up all of our concerns and all of our worries to you. Would you take them, Lord, and replace our requests with your presence and your love? Yes, thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We give them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want to set apart the Lord's Supper today?
Sure.
Can't see your face, so I don't know if it's shocked or smiling or angry. I'm smiling. There you go.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body given to you." Likewise, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This is a new covenant." Lord, thank you for being a loving Father who withheld nothing from us, that you gave us even your Son, that you give us his body and his blood to continue to nurture our faith. So, Lord, we announce over these the authority of Jesus Christ, that the bread is your body and that the wine and the grape juice is your blood. And Lord, we take it in faith, knowing that you are with us, that you are present, and that you forgive us and cleanse us and lead us into this new life that you have laid out for us. Let's pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So I'm reminded, as you're praying, one of the beauties of church is that we gather around his word. God and Jesus Christ speaks to us through the oral and written word, but also through the sacramental word. He says, "I'm here. My presence was here for you." So allow yourself to be in the presence of the Lord. And before we partake of his body and his blood, I like the fact that he gave us a prayer. We pray before we eat the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." This is the true body of Christ, broken for you, given for you. Take and eat of it. Likewise, this is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by the authority of Christ, your sins are forgiven. The Lord knows we need to hear it said out loud. God says to you, "I forgive you. Let it go. Give it to me. I forgive you." Stop asking someone else to pay back what they've stolen. I will give it to you. Forgive them. I forgive you. You don't have to pay it back. I've given you my Son. I forgive you. Let it go. and receive the gifts of God, the newness of life. He has plenty to restore what's been hurt and what's been stolen and what is trying to be taken from you or what you need. He has plenty for you, and he's given it to you here in his Son and in his church, the body of Christ. Be forgiven. Be healed. Know that you are loved. Bless our people, Father, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, you may be seated.
Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he look upon you with grace. May he look at you and smile like the loving Father that he is and give you peace now and forever. Amen. Have a great week. Happy Father's Day.